Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Have you ever thought about the influence that you can have on other people's lives? You know, sometimes we get the idea that we just live to ourselves and that what we do is a matter of, you know, it's a personal matter, and that what we say is a personal matter. And sometimes we don't consider that what we're doing in our lives can have a very, very positive effect or a very negative effect on other people that are around us. And you know, today, if we will think about the influence that we have on other people's lives, we might be used by the Lord more as a positive influence in their lives, and we might be cautious and be careful not to be a negative influence in their lives. Let's look today at some areas, some people, and then some areas where you can have an influence on other people. And I would say the first thing is this: you can influence other people to get saved. John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. But now notice, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, in verse 40, first findeth his own brother Simon. He told him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And I don't know if you realize just how much influence you have on the lives of other people as it concerns their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have a testimony. You were lost and now you're saved. And if you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they may very well need you to tell them how you found the Lord Jesus Christ so they too may be saved. In other words, you have a witness. You can give them a tract, you can give them a Bible, you can give them a personal testimony, you can take them with you to church. You say, well, all of those things are going to take time. Yes, and they may reject the Bible. They may reject the offer. They may not want to hear about Jesus Christ. All that's true. But you don't know. You really don't know how they're going to respond unless you tell them. And Andrew did not concern himself at all with Peter's reaction. He simply went and told him very matter-of-factly, We have found the Messiah. And then he brought Peter to Jesus Christ. There were four men that took a man that had the palsy to see Jesus Christ so Jesus Christ could heal him. And their faith was so strong that even though they couldn't get through the door, they broke up the tile in the roof and lowered the man down to get him to Jesus Christ. They were very determined to get him there. How determined are you to use your life as an influence in other people's lives for something good, for the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, but preacher, you don't know where I've been and you don't know what kind of testimony I had before I got saved. Doesn't make any difference. In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ was talking to a woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a man that she wasn't married to. That's not really what you call a stellar testimony. And yet after she realized that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, she left and went to town and brought other people back with her. She influenced others to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So she didn't have a stellar testimony before she received Jesus Christ, or before she accepted the Messiah, or before she believed on him, however you want to look at it. You know what she did? She put all that to the side. She did not let that bother her a bit. And she went and she told those people, "I know where the Messiah is." And in spite of whatever kind of lifestyle she had had before, they believed her. And they went and found out for themselves. She influenced them to get saved. And you can, and so can I. And we must not keep this good news to ourselves. You have an influence on other people. Your children, your parents, your siblings, your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, your associates. So use the influence. Help them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. These people in Samaria really had nothing to do with Jews. And in spite of all that, they believed on Jesus Christ. And Andrew, in spite of the fact that there are sibling rivalries and all those other kind of things, went right to Peter and said, "We found the Messiah." And then he took him to Jesus Christ. So use your influence in other people's lives to help them get saved. I'll show you something else. You can influence others not only to get saved, but to be bold. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and look at verse 14. We'll read verse 12 and 13 for the context. "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now notice, because Paul was unashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because Paul took the bonds, and in spite of the bonds, kept telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he was manifest in all the palace and in all other places, other brethren were encouraged. They waxed confident by his bonds. They were much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, it's kind of like this. Well, if he can take it, so can we. If the worst that happens to him is he gets locked up, and in the end we die and go to heaven, well, what's so bad about that? And so they became more zealous, more outspoken, more determined to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can influence others to be bold. People today, they want to say, "Oh, you know, we just need lifestyle evangelism. You know, they'll find Jesus if we just are nice people and we just live for Jesus." Well, you know, there's some testimony in living for Jesus, no question. We'll look at that in a minute. But you know something? Now more than ever before, we need boldness. You say, "Well, yeah, but there are a lot of people who don't appreciate the way we stand for Jesus Christ anymore. You know, we've got all these other religions that are represented in our country now, and, you know, we've got all these other types of deviant behaviors that are now considered to be normal and acceptable, and by law we have to, you know, we have to recognize all these various kinds of things going on that the Bible speaks against. I don't want to be the one to stand out there and say anything about that." Listen, you don't have to make a fool out of yourself. And you don't have to kick sand in other people's eyes. And you don't have to go out and purposely be rude. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. Paul wasn't. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You know, a lot of times all people need is to see somebody else willing to take a stand, and then they'll stand. And Paul was willing to take a stand, and he was willing to take a beating, and he was willing to be locked up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people that saw that said, you know what? If he can, we will too. And if ever we needed people boldly proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's now. So don't hide in the shell like a turtle, but be bold and recognize that other people are watching you. You say, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Well, then be bold in the things that you stand for. And if somebody says to you, well, what do you think about such and such in the Bible, and it happens to be one of these things that the rest of the world wants to accept today that God condemns, you don't have any reason to compromise your stand or belief. Just tell them, the Bible condemns that as sin, and that's where I stand. They may say, well, you're narrow-minded, or they may even say that you're bigoted. Well, not really. You're just a Bible believer, and you're a Bible believer who boldly stands for the truth of the words of God, unashamedly. And so if they challenge you or question you on where you stand, just tell them, this is where I stand. This is what the Bible says, and I stand here. And be bold. You know what? There's somebody else that's watching you that may also say, you know what? If he can do it, if she can do it, I can do it. And you'll find out that you're not standing alone. Not standing alone at all. Be an influence in other people's lives to get saved. Be an influence in other people's lives to be bold, to take a stand for Jesus Christ. But that's not all. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know what? You can influence others to live for God. It's hard for people in the workplace, particularly in some places where you work. It's hard for them to live for God. They don't want other people to know they're Christians, because everybody cusses. Everybody, to some degree, is unethical. Everybody, to some degree, cheats. And you're like, well, I don't want to stand up here and let people know that I'm a Christian, because it's a rough crowd that I work with. They talk about things that I don't want to talk about, but I sure don't want them to know that I'm a Christian and don't want to talk about those things, because then they'll make fun of me. But you know something? There may be another Christian in your workplace who wants to live for God but is afraid to do so because he doesn't want to stand out any more than you do, or she doesn't want to stand out any more than you do. And if you will be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, that's not just what you say, but that's your behavior, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, you know what? Two things will happen. Number one, if you're an example, other believers who see you not cussing, not telling the dirty jokes, not laughing at the dirty jokes, not condescending to the behavior of others who are not godly, if they see you standing strong in your faith, filled with the Spirit of God, and charitable, you know what you're going to do? You're going to influence them to do likewise. Your example will be an encouragement to them to do the same thing, to not laugh at the dirty jokes, to not be impure, to not cuss, to live faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you influence others in that regard, and somebody else who's saved catches on, something else happens. You're not going to hear, at first you'll hear some ridicule, but you're not going to hear as much cussing. Because when you walk in the room, those other ones there that are there who know that your conversation is not like theirs, who know that your word is not like theirs, who know that you're pure and that you don't appreciate filthy conversation, you know what they'll do? They'll back off. Oh, goody-goody two-shoes is here. We better watch our mouths. Well, that's a little bit of ridicule, but you know something? You've influenced them to not speak those things that are inappropriate in your presence. And you're not trying to be some sort of a self-righteous dude. You just don't want to have to listen to that stuff. And you know sometimes what will happen? A lost person in there will admire your character and admire your stand and admire the fact that you allow the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you to permeate your being. The way you talk, the way you walk, what you look at, what you listen to. They never find you on your computer looking at things inappropriate. And you know what happens? That has an influence. People look at that and they say, wait a minute, this thing with Jesus Christ is real. And you'll influence other people to live for God. Those who are weak Christians and those who aren't saved yet. Very, very important to recognize you have a testimony and you have an influence to help people get saved, to help people be bold, to help people live for God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we read about the house of Stephanas. Verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what? When other people see somebody like the house of Stephanas addicted to the ministry of the saints, you know what it compels them to want to do? Likewise, to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. You don't see that much today. You know what you hear today from the world? They'll say this, there are too many hypocrites in the church. You know why they say that? Because you go to church and you sing and you give and you make your appearance and then you leave and then you start acting like the rest of the world. And they look at that and they say, well, why would I want to be what he is? He's no different than I am. He just acts different than I am when he goes to church in front of those other people. Listen, the world doesn't need to see any more of that. They've seen all that they want to see. They need to see somebody who is the real deal, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every week of the year. Live for God and influence others with that life. You can influence others to get saved. You can influence others to be bold. You can influence others to live for God. I'll tell you something else. Negatively, you can influence others to quit. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul wrote in his letter so others would know, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you know when you are a faithful Christian, and you attend church regularly, and you read your Bible, and you pray, and you live for God, and then all of a sudden you backslide, and you start going to the bar, and you start drinking, and you start going to the dance hall, and you start dancing, and you start living like the world, and looking like the world, and talking like the world, and acting like the world, and walking like the world. You know what happens? Other people that are Christians, weak Christians, see that, and they want to quit. Just like what happened to Demas. He fell in love with the world. And you know what you do? You take somebody of weak faith and you put a stumbling block before them. And in that stumbling block, they feel compelled to be able to do something that wasn't right for them to do. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 13, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Boy, wouldn't you hate to think that that some young Christian was watching you, and that when you fell out with God or fell out with the church and you started becoming real vocal about that, that that other person just quit because you went back to the world? Listen, I've talked to people who don't want to get saved or who don't want to go to church because the preacher they had turned worldly. And they said after he did that, sometimes it's an affair, sometimes it was an indiscretion, sometimes it was theft. They look at that and they say, "I don't want any more to do with that stupid stuff." And they quit. And you know why they quit? Because somebody else influenced them to do that. You can influence others to quit. Be very, very careful not to quit yourself like Demas did. You can also influence other people to oppose the Lord. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. There are a lot of people that are outspoken today, and they love to get on the internet, and they love to get on these websites where they can, oh, they find somebody else that's paid for the forum, they find somebody else that's put the site together, but the site allows for comments, and they get on there and they spend their whole time just saying stupid stuff. They're gainsayers. They are opponents. They are contradictors. They are deniers. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 through 11 says this, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." You can have an influence on other people to oppose the Lord. In other words, you get some big idea in your mind that what you're thinking about is right, that some little strange offshoot doctrine that's cooked up in your mind is the truth. Oh, there are people all over this world like that. And the truth of the matter is, you want to get your own following. That's what's deep down in your motive. And you want to oppose the plain, simple truth of the Bible so that in your pride you can say that you've come up with some deep spiritual thing that nobody else saw, some strange view on the tribulation or some strange view on the church or something like that. And your whole deal is, with coming up with this, is really, you wouldn't admit it, but it's your ego, it's your pride that's motivating you, or perhaps it's money, if you can get people to buy your stuff. And you know what you do? You cause other people to oppose the Lord. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." You can influence other people to follow you and end up causing them to oppose the Lord. All because of your pride, all because of your ego, all because of your lust for attention. You need to be careful with that. You come up with some strange doctrine you think everybody else needs to know, you might be better off just to keep that stuff to yourself. But you get people following you and you think you've got some great following, how are you going to answer to God Almighty when he finds out, when you find out that you were a gainsayer? And not only that, but there's a whole bunch of people that decided to follow you because of Acts chapter 20, verse 30, and Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. You be careful with other men's souls, because you might influence some to turn away from the Lord and oppose the Lord. Then what? You got to give account of that. And then one other negative thing you could do, you can convince or influence others to sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a young man that was committing fornication with his father's wife, and Paul told the church, get that boy out of there. He said it this way, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Paul said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You're in a congregation today where the preacher doesn't preach against sin, and you're committing sin, and other people in the church know that you're sinning in a particular area that is spoken of against in the Bible, and rather than change, you stay in the church and you continue to flaunt your sin because you have spiritual liberty to do so, you think. And you don't realize that there's some teenager, you don't realize there's some young person in the church who sees you flaunting your sin and professing to have liberty to commit your sin, who is now in sin also because he's been emboldened and influenced by you to commit it. That's right. Listen, when you're doing things that the Bible clearly demonstrates are sins against the Lord, are transgressions and iniquities against the Lord, you know what you ought to do? You ought to just separate yourself from the flock and go deal with your sin rather than flaunt that stuff, professing to have liberty to commit it and influencing other people to follow your pernicious ways. Listen, you have influence on other people's lives whether you know it or not. And you can influence them for good or you can influence them for bad. Some of the bad things you can influence them to do, you can influence them to quit on God, just like you did, or to oppose the Lord by following you, or to sin like you do. No way. Don't do that. Or you can influence them positively. You can influence them to get saved if you'll be bold to do so, or to be bold if you'll take a stand, or to live for God if you're unashamed. Why don't you influence the people around you for good? And be careful not to influence them for things that are bad. And may God bless you when you do. I pray you're encouraged to influence others for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.